the Lord. You know, if you went into most churches around this country, you would find more mothers and women in them churches than you do men. Because women have a heart for God, and they understand the principles of unconditional love more than we do. To be honest with you, they truly do.
And I'm so thankful for all of the mothers here, and I ask God to give you all a special blessing today. And even if you don't have any children that you have bore, if you're a Christian, you're a mother. And I tell you what, sometimes some of the greatest mothers are the ones who don't have any children in the natural, because that mother instinct in God just creeps right up, and it will always be there. Before I get started here, I'm going to have a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to have your way today. I give you all praise, all glory, all honor. I ask you to bless the mothers here today and bless the mothers all around the world, Father, because most of us would never be what we are today without the influence of our mothers. They're the ones who've encouraged us and strengthened us and caused us to be the people that we are today. And you know, I love the fact that one of your names in the Old Testament is El Shaddai. And part of the name El Shaddai means the breasted one. And that's because mother's love on this earth is an actual expression of your love. And I thank you for all the mothers. I ask you to bless them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you this little story real quick before I get into the Word. This young couple invited his pastor over to their house for dinner. And, you know, people tend to do that. And so they're having the dinner and everything's going just fine. And they're talking and just having a nice dinner. And the dinner gets over with, and the pastor leaves. And the wife's cleaning up the table and putting stuff away and everything. And, you know, usually it's the women that get all the work. They do all the work. Us guys, we kind of laze around most of the time, and we don't give them near the credit they deserve. But anyway, she's cleaning up the table and putting everything away. And she comes to her husband, and she says, "I think the pastor stole the spoon." He said, "No, the pastor wouldn't do that." She says, "Yeah, I think the pastor stole the spoon." And he said, no, you know, and he kind of fussed with her a little bit. And she says, "Well, I'm pretty sure he stole one of our spoons." So they don't invite him back over for dinner. Usually if the woman don't want you to come, you don't get to come. And a year later, she decides to invite him to dinner. Well, that's been stewing inside of her all this time about that spoon. So they sit there and they're having their dinner, and the dinner's all over with. And finally, she just couldn't stand it. She looks over at him and she says, "Pastor, did you steal one of our spoons?" He said, "Well, no, I didn't." And she said, "Are you sure?" And he says, "Yeah, I'm sure." He said, "What I did is put one of them in your Bible." Oh. Whoa, watch out. Them pastors are sneaky sometimes. They'll get you. "I put one in your Bible." She hadn't cracked that thing in a year. Or she'd have found that spoon. Well, praise the Lord. I kind of like that because sometimes people don't realize pastors are smarter than they think they are. Sometimes people think they are sometimes. But anyway, so Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you to have your way here today. I give you all praise, all glory, and all honor, and we do honor all the mothers. I ask you to take these little short little things I'm going to share here today and just let your spirit just flow through them in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. You know, this first little thing I'm going to read you, I'm not sure where I picked this up at. I think I might have got it off of Facebook a couple years ago. But it says this. It's called Just Because She's Your Mom. Okay? And people take mothers for granted. They really do. And I tell you, that Margaret, she's always doing stuff. And I try to tell her, is there anything you want me to do? No, no, no. And she won't hardly let me do anything, hardly. I mean, if a room needs to be painted or something, she tells me, I'll do it. I'll paint the room. She thinks she's a way better painter than me. And I say, well, if you think you're that good, go ahead and do it. You know, but she's a good painter because they used to go out and do that stuff, her and Barb, and they'd do it as, you know, for a living some. When the kids were little, and when she'd get them off to school, her and Barb would go clean houses and do things, and they'd do painting and wallpapering. And Margaret, I think, probably did the majority of the work because she's the one who knew how to paper, and she's the one who knows how to paint. And she watches these home improvement shows all the time, and I think secretly she's a house rehabber. Her mother's dad was a carpenter, you know, in Tennessee. And Margaret's mother, Minnie, was the kind of person that she could build just about anything. And actually, when I started going with Margaret, we used to play basketball in the backyard some. She had a small, kind of a smaller backyard. And they had a basketball hoop up on the porch up above because it had a two-story house. And Margaret told me one time, Minnie built the porch. Not her dad, Minnie built it, you know. And they had end tables and stuff in their house, and Minnie had made the end tables. You know, she was pretty good. So anytime that Minnie asked me to do anything carpenter-wise, I was very reluctant to try to do anything like that. And her boys were all very good, very skilled at that kind of stuff, you know. Her one brother, Johnny, he bought this old house, and I think he remodeled it for about 15 years because he'd put something in and decide he didn't like it and tear it back out and put something else in. And he was constantly remodeling this house. And he didn't pay much for it when he bought it, but by the time he got done with it, he probably had a ton of money tied up in that thing because he was always redoing stuff. So anyway, those boys were all real good at doing stuff, and they would come and help me do things once in a while, but they never would hardly let me help them, you know. So I'm a little bit good at carpentry stuff, but not great at it, you know. But anyway, so... Getting back to the story, Margaret just was always doing stuff, and she watches those home shows, and those people will be painting, and she can't hardly stand it when she watches them. I mean, she will sit there and say, "Oh, I can't believe they're doing that." She don't think it's right what they're doing. Well, Margaret, when she paints, and I have done cutting out for her, and then she likes to roll the paint. You know, she likes to do the rolling. And she rolls her paint straight up and down, you know. And if you watch those guys that do that painting and stuff, they go in this direction and that direction and all this stuff. But she can't hardly stand that because it's not uniform, you know. And she likes things to be uniform, you know. And actually, Jacob just bought a house, him and Brittany, and my grandson, and they just got married a few months ago, and they're painting the inside of it. And Margaret's supposed to go help them paint, and I hope she don't throw her back out because she doesn't have a very good back. But she'll go and help them anyway. That's the way she is, you know. But anyway, I'm going to read this to you. And it's just because she's your mom. She's going to love you forever, no matter what. You can't treat her just any old way and think that it doesn't matter. Don't treat the person who loves you the most the worst, or take her for granted. She may not let you see it, but your shortness and impatience and harsh words make her still, this makes me cry, makes her steal away to a quiet place and cry. And I've seen Margaret do that many times when she'll be talking to somebody. Sometimes it's Jennifer or one of somebody else. And if they say something harsh to her, when she gets off the phone, she'll go cry. And people don't realize that just because she's your mother don't give you no right to be mean to her, you know? And sometimes people say stuff that's mean to their mothers. But anyway, it says, so don't take her for granted. She may not let you see it, but your shortness, impatience, and harsh words make her steal away to a quiet place and cry. Her heart hurts to understand why you seem angry with her. She will not always agree with you, but she will always love you. And it doesn't matter how old you are or how old she is, treasure your mom. You'll never have another one. And you know, that's a good piece of advice for anybody, because I tell you what, you don't realize sometimes the harshness of the words that you say sometimes. And sometimes moms will, they forget that you're grown, you know, and that you got to make your own mistakes, and you got to kind of make your own way. They tend to forget that, because I can tell you what, no matter how old your kids get, you still, when you see them, you see that little boy or that little girl. They're always still your kids. And it still has a tendency for you to feel like, you know, that you should be able to say things to them that maybe you shouldn't at times. You know what I mean? And and if you don't have any kids yet, or you're not married yet, or you're not old enough to be married yet, you're going to find out that same thing will happen to you. And you have to realize that the things that they say to you, they say those things because they love you, not because they're trying to be mean to you, parents, you know. And, you know, I'll mention Jennifer just for a minute. Jennifer used to, when she started, got out of school and started going to college, she would come and want to talk to me, and she'd say, Dad, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? You know, she was getting ready to start working at P&G, and she'd ask me questions. And sure as the world, if I would tell her, she'd get mad at me. And I'd tell her, Jennifer, if you don't want to know what I think, don't ask me, because I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to get in your business without you inviting me in there, you know. But sure as the world, if I'd tell her what I thought, it wouldn't necessarily be with what she was planning to do. So then all of a sudden she'd be mad at me, she'd be fussing with me because I told her a certain way to do something or something like that. But you know, you have to realize that you transition, you become the parent later on. You know, and later on, you're going to find out all of the things that your mom said to you, you tend to turn around and say those things to your kids, too, because you're trying to keep them from making mistakes in life and from not learning, you know, from the lessons that they need to learn, trying to keep them from having to go through that. And, you know, my next scripture comes out of 1 Thessalonians and basically begins to come out of it from chapter 5, verse 5 through 11. It says, you are all children of the light and children of the day. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, and let us watch and be sober. It is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Therefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand. Cast away from you all transgressions, thereby you have transgressed, and make your new heart and new spirit. Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to make to save your souls. Little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. I love that scripture. Those are great scriptures. And, you know, Clyde says, we were talking back there, and he said, Oscar loves to quote this scripture, so I'm going to quote it to you again. 1 John 3:2-3, and this is out of the Phillips translation. And this is John talking, but this very well could be your mother talking. Oh, dear children of mine, forgive the affection of an old man. Have you realized it here and now we are God's children? We don't know what we shall become in the future. We only know that if reality were to break through, we should reflect his likeness and we should see him as he really is. Everyone who has this heart of hope like that keeps himself pure, for he knows how pure Christ is. Praise the Lord. You know, years ago one time I wrote my mother a poem while she was still alive. I'm going to quote you this poem. And I put a title, and it really didn't have a title on it, but I put a title on it and said Jesus at the top of it. And this is the poem. It says, I didn't see the star so bright, or the manger where he lay. I didn't see him in the temple or along the Jordan Bay. I didn't see the marriage feast or the water turned to wine. But I saw him in you, Mother, the way you were always kind. I saw him in you, Mother, even when I broke your heart. I saw him in you, Mother, when you would kneel and always make a new start. I saw him in you, Mother, when there was no other way. I saw him in you, Mother, even when I broke your heart, in the love and compassion that you still could impart. And, you know, I was glad that I gave that to Mother one time. And, you know, sometimes I told you last week, when you feel like you should do something, you should do it. And don't wait until something's already happened. And then you know, one time I wrote a poem years ago for my Uncle Fred. And Uncle Fred was a Roy Rogers fan, and he had a gold Palomino trigger. And his son, Fred, he was close to my age. He was 11 months younger than me. And me and him were just like brothers, you know. And in the summertime, I'd usually go up there for a week or so and spend a week or so up there, maybe sometimes 2 weeks. And he'd come down to the city sometimes and spend a week or so down here, you know. And, you know, we were pretty tight. But Uncle Fred was a man's man. I mean, he was just a very manly man, you know. And I never had no much of an example for anybody to ever show me how a man should be, because my dad died when I was 4, and my brother was like almost 7. And, you know, we didn't have much of an example other than our mother. And I thank God that God gave our mother a real strength, you know. And Mother did, she babied us a little bit, but she made us do the right thing. And she straightened us up when we got out of line. And thank God that she did, because I don't know where in the world I would have been had she not. And but anyway, you know, Uncle Fred, getting back to him, I'd go up there a lot of times, and he'd have me come up when they were doing they were doing the Owensville Fair. He lived up in Batavia. And when I'd go up there, a lot of times he would have some project they'd be doing, or they might be digging a trench or doing something else, or sometimes he'd be plowing a field or doing something like that. He worked at GE, but he also farmed part of the time. And all of the things that I watched and learned from him just come back in the Word sometimes. Now, when we'd go to church on Sunday morning, Aunt Helen would lead the singing, and sometimes she taught Sunday school, my aunt, his wife. But Uncle Fred would always drop us off, and he'd always say, "I'm going to my church." I don't know where he went. We never did know where his church was, but he said, "I'm going to my church," you know. And then he'd come and pick us up when church was over with, you know. Anyway, but, you know, I wrote this poem about him years ago, and it says, "A kindness often goes untold, yet in time it will unfold to reveal the essence of all that was done as a man reaches his hand to a fatherless son. To do a few things that a father might do, to teach and to show things that are new, to ride a horse, to shoot a gun, to take to a fair he might have some fun, riding a car and ice cream to buy. The price of these things is not very high, but the value is greater than any can say, for the things that we remember as time slips away. The essence of giving is caring, you see. It's not the cost of a gift, but whether it's free. And sometimes the greatest gift you can give somebody is time. Spend a little time." Now, Uncle Fred, when we were out riding in the car with him and Freddie, you know, he'd take us out on his tractor and we'd ride on that tractor and stuff. And a couple times we came down, used to be 32, used to come down off the hill there. It was a big steep hill. And we'd get coming down that hill in that tractor, buddy, and we'd be flying. If you fell off that tractor, you was going to get hurt really bad. But, you know, Uncle Fred's hat would be blowed back. He'd have on like a regular hat, and it'd blow his hat back, you know, bend his thing and stuff. But I can remember a lot of things. But when we'd be in the car, he'd say to me, "Why don't you just come up here and live?" He said, "I'll buy you a gun and get you a horse, and you can just live up here with us all the time," you know. Well, naturally, I wasn't going to do that. And I never knew if he was really serious. But you don't know what that meant to a little kid. It really meant a lot to me, you know. And some, you know, Aunt Helen, she was always, you know, really nice when I was up there. Worst cook in the world. She couldn't cook at all. And that's why I learned to love green beans. Because she grew her own garden, and she'd fix green beans almost every night. And I'd eat green beans, and I'd eat scrambled eggs. And that was about all I'd eat up there. Her cooking was not bad. I know one time Uncle Fred brought this real nice steak home for her to cook it. And man, that thing, she burnt that thing so bad. It looked like a piece of leather laying there, or like a bottom of a shoe or something. And I have to say, Uncle Fred, he had a kind of a hot temper. But he restrained himself. He restrained himself. I don't know. He might have really got on her if I hadn't been there. But he kind of mumbled, and I think he said a couple cuss words, and he went out of the kitchen, you know. But she could not kick a cook. And all of her kids, whenever they would visit us, they would always loved it because Mother was such a good cook. For some reason, she was the best cook in the family. But she always made a lot of good stuff, you know. And, you know. But, you know, a lot of times we don't realize the little things in life. And even with your mothers, appreciate them while you got them. I wish my mother was still around. I know she's around in the spirit. But, you know, and I know Clyde feels the same way about his, you know. And, you know, but I thank God that she was very strong with us boys, the two of us. I can remember one time my brother did something, and he was 15 or 16 or something like that. And I don't know if any of y'all remember my mother. She was about this tall. She was a little woman. And she gave him a whipping with a belt. And I'm going to tell you, back in our day, they believed in spare the rod and spoil the child, send his soul to hell. You know, they believed that kind of stuff. I mean, but she never got you without, while she was angry. Anytime anything happened, she would wait a day or two, and if she came home singing or something, and you'd done something, guess what? You was going to get it. She was going to get it. She was going to get you then, because she'd never do it in anger, you know. And I thank God, and I'm going to tell you what, getting a few spats on the behind with a belt or a switch or something like that, it won't kill you. It actually will do you a little bit of good. And if you get corrected right at home, the world out there won't have to correct you, because you'll understand authority and you'll understand correction. But she got my brother, and boy, she wore him out. And he told her, he says, I'm leaving home. She says, well, I'll give you $10 and I'll see you later. He didn't leave home. I'm telling you, when these kids today, when they get out there, run away from home and stuff, they get into a mess. But that pride and that everything else, and sometimes not knowing that their parents really love them, you know, because they haven't been corrected, then, you know, they get out into things and they just ruin and destroy their lives, you know. And a lot of times they just won't go home. And sometimes they've been mistreated at home too, you know. But I thank God we had a godly mother, and she straightened us out. And, you know, I would have rather her hit me over the head with a 2x4 than make her cry. And I made her cry a bunch of times, you know, because I wasn't the best kid in the world. I got in trouble in school and different things. And, you know, but thank God that she always loved me in spite of anything that I did, and she corrected me. But, you know, here he's 15 years old, and she wore him out, buddy. I mean, she let him know, you know, you ain't never going to be too old for me to correct you, you know. And, you know, my brother liked to fight with people. He was always wanting to fight somebody, you know. But he knew that he'd not raise a hand to her, buddy. And I know one time she spanked me for something, and I was pretty little, and I balled up my fist. Man, she lit into me like you wouldn't believe. Unball that fist, she told me. She wore me out. And you know what? I never did that again. And I wouldn't have hit her for anything in the world. But, you know, when you're angry sometimes, you do some stupid things. But I'm going to tell you what. If you got a mother, appreciate them. Because if you don't appreciate them, then, you know, they're only with you for a short span of time. And that's really all I had to share with you today. I thank God that I had a good mother. I thank God that she was strict enough on us, but yet loving also along with it, and always very forgiving about things that we did, you know. I mean, she taught me more how to be a man, I think, than any man could have taught me. You know, when my kids were growing up, they knew that if they got in trouble at school, they was in trouble at home. And I didn't ever go to school and fight with the teachers or none of that stuff, you know, because I knew what I did when I was in school, and I knew every time that I got in trouble, I deserved to get corrected, you know. And so usually, well, a lot of parents take the attitude of that, you know, that if their kids get in trouble in school, they're going to go up there and fight with the teacher about it. Well, I tell you what, most of the time, the kid did whatever they said they did, the majority of the time. But anyway, but you know, like I say, I would have rather, I made her cry a few times because I got in trouble different times, you know. I got suspended a couple times, you know, for fighting and different things. And you know, I'm not proud of those things. I'm ashamed that I did that stuff sometimes. But, you know, a lot of the things that you go through in life, those things, they teach you about other facets of life, you know, and they teach you how to handle yourself later on. But I'll tell you this, if you don't correct your children, if they don't love you, you don't love them enough to correct them, society will correct them, and they don't love them. They can tell you they love them, but they don't love them. And, you know, but anyway, I'm thankful for a good mother. I appreciate her. And, you know, she raised us four kids by herself when my father died. And mother was a very pretty woman. She probably could have found somebody else, but she loved my dad, and she never did want to get remarried or anything, and she didn't date people or nothing. And you know, she was a very great mother, and I appreciate her so much. So anyway, if you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. I didn't preach you no big sermon today. I just talked to you a little bit about mothers, and you know, I want you to, if your mother's still around, spend some time with her if you can. If you can't, give her a call. If she's went on to be with the Lord, talk to her anyway, because she can hear you in that other realm, I believe. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that this is Mother's Day. And I know that even with Jesus, when he appeared to John in the book of Revelations, that when he was described, part of the description of what John saw, he saw one with hair white like a wool and eyes like a flame of fire. And his paps were girded about with gold. And the word for paps there is a word that means female breast. And I'm going to tell you what John really saw was the fullness of the body of Christ standing up, because he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And he saw the fullness of the body of Christ. And I'm going to tell you what, the motherhood body of Christ will want to draw creation up to the breast and feed them the sincere milk of the word. And we were talking about reconciliation back there in Sunday school this morning. And you know, I believe what Kathy said, we've been called to tell people that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not in putting their trespasses. And you know what? We need to quit in putting their trespasses to them. We need to tell them they're forgiven. We need to love them and start doing the work of reconciliation. So I threw you a little bit of a sermon in there, but that's about it. But anyway, if you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to just bless all these ladies here today and the fathers. And I just ask you to just put a special blessing on them and let them know how much you love them and how much they're loved by their children and by their husbands. And all the grandmothers and everybody else, we just love them to death. And we ask you to just bless them with a special blessing. And we give you all praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus we pray today. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you all.